You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ben Schott spent a lot of time cataloging and arranging odd, arcane facts for his book called Miscellany, from Dante's Regions of Hell to linguistic indications of the upper class to the curious deaths of some Burmese kings. Well, his latest book, Schadenfreude, is also a compilation, but it's a collection of German words invented to describe the human condition. You may have wished, as I have on many a Food Friday, that there was a perfect word to say, one of those people who pretend to know more about wine than they do. And he has a word for that. It is Besserwisser, or total confidence that a newly opened restaurant is doomed to fail. The word is Gaststätten Neueröffnungs Untergangs Gewissheit.
Marvelous.
That's the best I can do on this bed. I'm sorry. On the other hand, you may agree with Mark Twain when he says of such constructions, these things are not words, they're alphabetical processions. In either case, I think you'll find Schadenfreude entertaining. It consists of 120 newly minted compound words, their definitions and notes and commentaries. It's published by Blue Rider Press, which is a member of the Penguin Group, and I'm very pleased it has brought Ben Schott to our show. Hello.
Hello.
And in this sense, what exactly does Schadenfreude mean? Guilty pleasure in the works of Ben Schott?
Possibly. Schadenfreude is obviously a pun on Schadenfreude, which is the pleasure of other people's misfortune. Schadenfreude, it's interesting, Schotten is German for Scottish. And curiously, in German, a Schottischer Preis is known as, like, sales are known as Schottischer Preises because the Scots are considered to be, shall we say, very canny with their money.
Well, I was wondering if there was a Freudian connection or a connotation there, and maybe that's the reason that you include analysis.
Well, Freud does pop up, although Austrian, he wrote a lot in German. So lots of psychoanalytical terms that we use are German, everything from angst all the way through to things like, you know, Gesellschaft and Hinterland. And these are the words that have come over. So, yeah, Freud does feature.
A lot more words, actually, and a lot of the compound words that we don't have English equivalents for, like kindergarten, Zeitgeist,
absolutely,
really useful word, Weltanschauung, and of course you mentioned Schadenfreude. These are words that now seem to be part of the English language.
It's interesting why German words sort of seem to stick around, and they tend to be used to describe emotions that we don't have good English words for.
Sturm und Drang.
Sturm und Drang, Bildungsroman. I mean, we could go on for, you know, a good 3 minutes. I think it's fascinating. I think when we use new words, neologisms in English, they tend to be silly. They tend to be puns, everything from sort of Lewis Carroll's Brillig. And they have a sort of lightness, which can be fun. And modern words like bromance or, you know, even workaholic. But something about German, something about the Middle European sense, you've got Nietzsche, you've got Schopenhauer, you've got Freud bearing down. And somehow it seems much more serious and fun and stolid.
Well, do you think there's something in the German sensibility that leads them to create these compound words that actually wind up being quite useful because you don't have to worry about adverbs and adjectives, and yet you get the whole message?
I think so. And German is one of the few languages that you can create these compound words, and they do. What's interesting is actually as we are delighting in German words, they actually quite like some very simple, plain English words, because I think, you know, there's always the grass is always greener linguistically. We like long, complex words now, and they like small, simple, easy English words.
Am I correct to describe the process as portmanteau?
Yes, a Lewis Carroll word, again, to describe the sort of the shoehorning of words together.
I didn't know Lewis Carroll invented that.
Indeed.
What does it say about a culture that develops a language which compacts so much precise meaning into a single word?
Well, I mean, the cliche of Germans, I think, is that they're efficient and don't have a sense of humor. And I think Schadenfreude shows that they're efficient and they do have a sense of humor. I think the Germans really do delight in language. I think this notion of creating compounds maybe touches on the efficiency side of them.
Although they probably haven't come up with words that will take care of expressions like je ne sais quoi or comme ci, comme ça.
This is true. And, of course, there are certain words. I mean, I actually have a translation of simpatico into German, which is absurd because simpatico is such a useful word and is untranslatable in any language from the Italian and the Spanish, I think. So there are some words, that loan words, that just seem to capture the mood. And I think German does that probably better than most other languages.
Well, when I've traveled in Germany, sometimes I see an extraordinarily long word printed on the side of a building and wonder, what could it ever mean? Are they all examples of that kind of construction?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, for them, it's interesting. I worked with a professional Bavarian called Dr. Oskar Bantler, who helped me create these words.
And because you don't speak German?
I speak not the kind of German that can construct these words efficiently and accurately. And although he sort of gets the joke, he doesn't kind of get the joke the way that I think English speakers get the joke. I think he thinks it's funny and he appreciates that it's humorous. But for them, this is just the way they construct their language.
But these are legitimately German words.
Absolutely.
These are not pun words.
No, there are some words that have subtle different meanings. So there is one word, which is that sensation you get when you wake up early in the morning, like at 5 o'clock to the airport, and you kind of think, you feel special because everyone else is asleep and you feel unique. And this is Fröhlichkeit, which is a pun of Fröhlichkeit, which is joy and excitement, and Früh meaning early. So it's a pun, but it's also a compound. It's proper German.
You also have a word for the smell of a new car, a word that I wish I had known over the years.
This is the very handy and very useful Krassversteugs Innenausstattungs Neugeruchsgenuss, which translates roughly as new car smell.
Mm-hmm. But actually, new car smell could be a compound word in English and it would work just as well and it'd be a lot shorter.
But it wouldn't be as useful as Krassversteugs Innenausstattungs Neugeruchsgenuss, surely.
Well, there's the whole question of that smell.
Yeah, which
is it psychological?
The smell, actually, it is. I don't know what page it's on. I actually describe the chemical compounds that create that smell, and there is a series of literal chemicals that are used in the seats and the glue and stuff. So there is a scientific term for what these are.
And I've always wondered whether they're good for us.
Almost certainly not.
you must have some personal favorites. Although some of the words are a bit shocking. You have a word, Frozensfaschismus, which translates as cheerfulness fascism.
Yeah, this is Frozensfaschismus is the sense of the god-awful mediocrity of organized fun. There's nothing worse than organized fun. And cheerfulness fascism, I don't think it's that controversial, but it's a useful term for a very awkward emotion.
How many of these words would only be used for a single time, specific to a particular moment?
Well, there are some, which what I call portmanteaus. So one of them is Fingerspitzentanz, which is the tiny triumphs of nimble-fingered dexterity. And that's everything from tumbling a safe, throwing dice, unhooking a bra with one hand, or, you know, rolling a cigarette. All these little things you do. I mean, my favorite of the Fingerspitzentanz is when you put a bagel in the toaster and it pops up and it's super hot, and you do that little dance on your fingertips to transfer the hot bagel onto the plate. This is Fingerspitzentanz.
Now, if I were to speak any of these words aloud to a German, and let's pretend that I would do it with a perfect German accent, would they understand what I was saying immediately?
Absolutely. I mean, what's bizarre is next week, Schottenfreude is being published in Germany in German by a very reputable German publishing house. So we'll find out very soon what, if anything, the Germans think of a Brit coming in and telling them how to reconstruct their language.
And the book is called Schottenfreude. It is published by Blue Rider Press in a rather unconventional size. That was important for you as well?
Because the technical term for this is long and thin. And it's a sort of very strange shape. And the idea was to make it fit the long German word. So it has to be long and it needs to have all these footnotes. So it was created to make it literally stand out.
And all of the words are written in a typeface that I would have called Old English, but we also would associate with German.
This is the black letter Gothic typeface, just to give it that German feel, which is, I admit, quite difficult to read, but it certainly gives a character of the German.
You begin the book with an appropriately seasonal word, Herbstlaub tritt Vergnügen.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, Herbstlaub tritt Vergnügen is the joy of kicking through piles of autumn leaves.
But you should have one about the joy of splashing in your little boots when you're a kid.
This is true. Although there's another one, which is Intimbereichsverkrampfung, which is maybe the summer version, which is avoidance of going into cold water felt at each erogenous zone.
Now, I wonder about poets. Poets, when they're searching for the absolute right word, are they thinking in the same way?
I'm not sure. I mean, there are some poets who rejoice in creating new words, and there are some who...
Shakespeare
did very well. And actually, if you think about what language is, the creation of language is the creation of a term to describe an emotion or a sensation. I mean, language develops because something happens and you need a word, which is why what's powering neologisms these days is technology, everything from Bluetooth to Wi-Fi. You know, the words that surround us now are being driven by technology. But this book, the idea is to go back and to look at emotions that have been with us for years. So one of my favorite words is Speichelgleichmut, which is pretending you haven't been accidentally spat on in conversation. And I have references that go back to Louis XIV's childhood when he was spat on by his brother and they got into a fight. And Samuel Pepys in 1661 was spat on by a woman while he was conversing, and he let it go because she was so attractive.
Where did you start? Did you begin with an idea that you thought should be verbalized?
It actually started on a day in August in 2008 when I was driving with my wife in a car, and we were commenting that the journey on the way back is so much shorter than the journey on the way there. And I said, there must be a German word for that. So I emailed Oscar and said, is there a German word? And if there isn't, could you create one? And he created one. And then I thought, well, this is such a fun game. We should create more.
Well, I've thought about whether it would be possible to come up with English equivalents to some of these words, the German words that have already come into our language, like Zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And it's too complicated. Zeitgeist just works so well.
Yeah. And
but in France, they're trying to get rid of English words because they feel that it's part of the Western English hegemony or American hegemony. We're not fearful of that in English.
Well, France has the Academy, and the Academy have for years have been what I consider to be like raking the sand after each tide. I mean, it's something they're going to lose, a battle they're going to lose. And I think it is sad sometimes when you just have Le Weekend and Le Shopping in language. But I don't know. I think there's something about German that is stolid and deep and amusing to non-German speakers.
Some of these words imply multiple meanings, and you often list them. What's a definition of spirituosen Handlung?
These are the incidents and accidents caused by alcohol. So this is everything to do with drinking. So it's everything from in vino veritas to trying to persuade the barman to give you a drink on the house. It's everything you know when you just had three drinks and you're thinking about the fourth, all of those strange emotions that hit your mind.
One does sound a bit pun-like. Kakophonie, Knoch, and Bruch.
Kakophonie, Knoch, and Bruch is, this is a portmanteau for all those tiny little injuries that are incredibly painful. So everything from a paper cut to stepping on an upturned piece of Lego when you're bare feet. And it's a small injury, but it's unbelievably and unreasonably painful.
You have a word to describe one's pride at one's innumeracy, or in lay terms, I'm not good at math.
Well, this is the thing. There are certain traits that very literate people have, and one of them is being proud that they can't add up. And it seems odd that people who would be mortified if they got a spelling mistake or said fewer rather than less, or, you know, they're very happy to say, oh, I'm terrible at maths. And so, yeah, it was a word to prove these people should be better at maths.
Do you like to do crossword puzzles? There's a word here, Irrleuchtung.
Irrleuchtung, which is the little surge of pleasure you get when you get a puzzle and you know that it's right. It's a bit like when you were a kid and you did algebra at school and it came out to 7 and you're like, it must be 7. It's such a lovely, round, crisp number. So, yes, this is one of those little surges of emotion and pleasure.
Is it true that your first book was printed privately as a gift for friends?
It was. Schott's Original Miscellany, 11 years ago, I printed 50 copies at a small press and gave them away to friends.
And was that also a compilation of facts?
It was. It was a slightly different. It wasn't German, but it had everything that you sort of, all those things on the tip of your tongue and the back of your mind, from like cloud types to wine bottle sizes, you know, all the things you really need.
Well, you have done that, and you've invented these German words, these compound words, some of which I suspect will make their way into some language. What next?
Next is trying to find a way of not thinking, you know what, there should be a German word for that, because it's an incredibly addictive game.
So you're still doing it, whether you want to or not?
I do, and now I get emails from people saying, well, what about a German word for? So, yeah, it's going to be the next year of my life, I can tell.
Have you been getting a lot of feedback from some of the words that you've invented?
Yeah, and people seem to like them. There are some that are dark and some that are light. People seem to like Leertretung. Leertretung is literally void stepping. And when you're walking upstairs in the dark and you step really heavily on a stair that isn't there, that is Leertretung.
And I think we needed a word for that.
Absolutely.
Schadenfreude is Ben Schott's latest book, his follow-up to his bestseller, Schott's Original Miscellany. This book, German Words for the Human Condition, published by Blue Rider Press, or Blau Rider Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.